This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello and welcome back to Embracing Change. You're joining us for a special episode of Embracing Change. We are giving an introduction to our next series, which is called From Mess to Message. And this season is going to involve some interviews with some people that have some incredible stories, and you are not going to want to miss it. So, Lakrita, some of the folks that we have, do you want to preface any of the stories,
no,
talk about any of them
at
all?
I think surprise, you know, coming and being curious and open is best, because I don't know the stories they'll tell. See, that's the neat thing about, you know, I can know someone's story and interpret it in the way that I understand it, but the way they share it may be a whole different perspective for our audience. And so I don't want to preference their story because it's their story and how they feel comfortable. I may tell, give a synopsis of it, and it may not even be anything that I think that they're going to share. Maybe they're going to even share pieces of their story that I never heard.
Yeah.
So I don't. I just think that this season, I just wanted to have other voices at the table.
Yeah.
And I know that when you define a mess, you know, most of us deal with messes in our lives, not seeing them in the moment we're in them to become the message, but they do become the message, not only to other people, but they also become a message for us in order to begin to articulate, operate, and create a new narrative of the situation. And I think that a lot of times, I really want us to, when we're looking at the from the mess to the message, I want us to be able to see the process. I think that a lot of times when it comes to life, we, and I'm going to use this, today is my nephew's, would have been my nephew's 29th birthday. Mm. He got killed last year. He got shot 6 times on his birthday last year. And he died 4 days later on the 29th. And so, to me, that was a mess. You know, it really was. And it's still, you know, and the message is being created. And so since the day he got shot until today, 365 days later, I can tell you some parts of the message that I've gotten. And one of them is that I do understand that violence, you know, when people kill one person, they kill so many other people. Mm. And that's a message for me, that there's a death to his mom, a death to his grandmother, a death to his son. So there's so many people being affected, the ripple effect of someone else's choice. And so when I look back over this year and I gather the pieces of such a horrific situation to create a way to make sense of it, because I think that's why when it's a mess, we're trying to, I don't know if you've ever broke a glass. I just want you to just close your eyes and just have a glass in your hand, just think of it and then drop it. And then in the dropping of the glass onto a concrete floor, and it breaks and shatters into so many pieces, and you sweep it up. And when you break it, an immediate break, I've done this before, and in the immediate moment, I say, daggone it, you know, and I get so chaotic in my own self because all I think about is the mess I've made, the untidiness, the uncleanness, or even how am I going to get this all back together and get it even off the floor? You know, it becomes that untidy. It becomes, trying to not necessarily preserve the glass, but looking at it, you know what I'm saying, to say, you know, this is all a mess now. It's like, oh my God, this thing that I've gotten, I broke this glass and now it's all over my floor. And that it's been times where you sweep it and sweep it, and you could sweep it for days. And guess what? You'll get fine little pieces of glass from that one whole glass that you broke up into many pieces that became a mess.
Yeah.
And then there's sometimes the residual effect of it is that you may be walking barefooted in your home, and all of a sudden step on a piece of glass, and all of a sudden your foot is bleeding. Well, how did it start? Well, because of the broken glass that you broke. And that's what life is about. We're broken people, and broken people break stuff, and we usually break other people. Mm. And we don't even realize it. So when I look at my nephew's death, I look at it in a way that says, for me, you know, I need to now look at the pieces of this situation and try to find, not try to even make sense of it, because it will never make sense for another person to take another person's life.
Right, right.
And yet try to pick the pieces up, you know, the pieces of his life that he left. And so, like, even on Saturday, we went to the graveside, and one piece that was there that day that wasn't there a year ago was the body was now in the ground. The grass that was dug up was beginning to grow over the body, you know, where it was laid. He had a headstone. So those are small changes, but they are the process over the year of things that have happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's about the pieces that you pick up on the way. And going back to the graveyard, my niece and I rode together, and her saying to me, I now realize I can't keep coming to this graveyard because it takes me almost a week or two to get myself back together. Mm. So I'm not going to come as often. Where I was coming weekly, I may come twice a month. Again, that's another piece that she is picking up to realize I can't live in this space. Hmm. A part of my grieving this year was coming on a regular basis, but as I move and pick up the pieces of the brokenness of this situation, I can't keep breaking myself apart and then taking 2 weeks to get myself back together to function, only to repeat it back over again. Hmm. Another piece we found out is that he has two other children. The girls were impregnated while, you know what I'm saying, one child is 5 months, another one is about 6 months, 7 months. So he had impregnated two other, and it's been solidly given because they went to the coroner to get blood tests, and they have come out to be his children. So now my niece has three grandchildren where she thought she only had one. So there's another piece. So it's just these are the pieces that are being put together. It will never make sense. But I think the piece helps you bring the process is part of the piece that brings the greater peace. He will always be missed. He will always be loved. He will always, but there's pieces that he has left us to say he existed. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that he was here.
That I was here.
Yeah. However that looks, whether it's affecting his mother, it, you know, fathering children, you know, you called it a ripple. It really is. Like, rarely, well, not rarely, I don't believe there's one life, one soul that doesn't have some sort of effect on someone else. And those effects can be subtle, but will still change another person, for sure.
Yeah, and a mess is like a situation or a state of being that is confused. It's like you are in confusion or it's confusing. You know what I'm saying? It's full of difficulties, opposition. You know what I mean? And but we don't see the message in it because we got to go through the process in order to see the message. You know, we were out last week, and I went and shared my story to a group of women in Xenia, Ohio, I think it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the women says something so profound. She said, I'm just amazed with you being able to sit here and tell your story and be so vulnerable. There is no way I could tell my story and be that vulnerable and open. Well, I couldn't have either at the stage that she is in the process of her transformation. It has taken 30 years in my process, And I've been telling my story probably 5 years into my process, but I am able to tell more of it and deeper, just like the last podcast, you just found out about the three other children I lost. You know, so there's pieces of my story that I don't always go into deep death, you know, with until I have dealt with the mess within myself, and then now I'm able to see the message in it.
Yeah, yeah, which totally makes sense.
Yeah, so like you said last week, there's pieces of my story that you heard last week that you had never heard. Because I think that it depends on where I have been, and I think in the last 3 to 5 years, I've grown and became more aware of some of the parts of my message, even in my mess. And so hopefully that's what's going to happen with our audience, that they'll see that the stories that are told, that you'll find that it feels messy when you're in it, but if you go through the process with your eyes wide open and your heart receptive to whatever, that you'll see the message. And that's where I believe the scripture comes in when it says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for our good, for those who love the Lord and who has been called according to his purpose. I believe that he's saying, let me take the mess and give you a message.
Yeah.
Let me work it together for your good.
It's a promise.
It's a promise. Let me do this. Let me show you how this most difficult situation, confusing, painful, difficult situation, if you will come to me, I will show you and walk you through the mess to become the message.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that really is truth. I mean, well, like you said, for 30 years you've been telling your story, and God has been transforming just different aspects of it. So same for me. I can look back on situations and think, boy, in the moment it felt insurmountable. It felt unsurvivable. I almost can't say that word. And yet, it was something that you were able to get through, something that you were able to like see on the other side of. And then I think it just takes time for God to reveal it. Like a friend of mine said one time, his story was like the opening of a big book and getting revelations as that book gets wider. And that's kind of how this is, right? When you've been in the mess, you're waiting for that book to be opened, and it is little by little.
And it's expansion. Yeah. It expands you. It pours you.
Yeah.
It's like what, you know, you can begin to read a story, right? And you want to know what the end is like. But it's really the message is in the middle. You know, the nuggets of life is in the middle. It's in the process.
Yeah.
It's between the beginning and the end. It's the middle. You know, it was a show that used to be called In the Middle, The Middle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that show because he was like, you know, he really wasn't even, I guess he wasn't really, he was the youngest. He wasn't even the middle child, but it just seemed like he had so much attention. You know what I'm saying? And he was the, you know, one that had, they were always focused on him and on the brother. And so when he had an older brother and an older sister, Sue and I can't think of their name, but it did. I love that show. You know what I mean? I used to watch it every week because it has such messages in it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
You know, and that every one of them were uniquely made, and they all had to be treated in that way. And the brother I'm talking about would talk about this crap and say stuff, and it's like, you know, he would repeat himself over and over. But it was like that was the way he got through the process that he needed. That was the message that he gave. And it was a great show. So I think it's that middle process that we have to look at to see what the message, you know, and we pick a piece of the message up as we go through the journey.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think if you've been through any kind of trauma or experience, you know you've worked through a lot of it when you can look back and say, I'm grateful that I got through that because it made me the person I am now. And to even think about what kind of person you would be had you not gone through that trauma, I mean, it's almost inconceivable because it's like, I have no idea who I would be had I not gotten through that.
And well, I think those things give you resilience.
Lots of resilience.
You know, they give you determination. They give you creativity. There's so many messages come from even the pain.
Yeah.
You know, you find out what you're made of. And even when you're triggered, you know, I was talking to someone today, one of the speakers, I was talking to them that's going to share their story. And she said, you know, I'm willing to do it, but I'm afraid. I'm fearful. You know, I don't know why I'm so fearful about it. Well, I know that usually fear is not a negative thing if you use it for an outcome that is necessary. It really tells her to be mindful because, see, when even when you tell your story, you have to be mindful of all those who are involved because you have to consider everybody. It is your story, and, yeah, you have the right of speech, and you can, you know, you equal, you know, as the amendment says, you know what I mean, I have the right to speak, you know, freedom of speech. But is that really freedom if it's going to harm someone else because you're ready to tell your story, but you know that telling your story may harm someone else or offend someone? So you have to be mindful of how much of the story you're going to tell. Like, I can now talk about different parts of my life, but for a long time, even I've been married 29 years almost, there was parts of my story about my marriage that I wouldn't dare talk about because I know it could offend my husband, you know, because it involves him.
Yeah.
Even though it's my story.
Yep.
You know, there's certain things about my son, my relationship to me being a mother. Got to be mindful. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
So I think that we have to, you know, be okay with the apprehensiveness or even the fear that before we tell our stories that we share either with the people that might be a residual or ripple effect to it so they can be prepared. But you can't tell them how to feel about it. But knowing how much of the story to tell, you know, is it exposing someone that's not ready to be exposed?
Yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah, that's one of the pieces of advice I give with my interviewing that I do. I'll say, if your story intersects someone else's story, unless you have permission to share it, be as vague as possible or as general as possible. Because you're right. You don't want to share someone else's story if they're not in the right mental headspace, if they've not dealt with it. I mean, there's a million reasons why you wouldn't do it. But yeah, you just have to, you're right, be very mindful of that. It's kind of like with my dad and some of his victims and what have you. I talk in very general terms with that because the people that were involved, it, you know, that's their story. They have to, when and if they ever choose to tell it, that's up to them. And there are other places, even I know in my story, where it intersects with others, and I try to be very general about it because I've been told by a few, please don't share my stuff. And it's like, I would never.
Then some people see it from a different perspective. You may see it from the way you experienced it, and then somebody else may be in total denial that it even happened that way.
Yeah.
And then that becomes an offense, and you can break real strong family ties and friendships up.
Yep.
In that way, because
yep.
the way they view it is different than the way you view it. You know what I'm saying? You may not even view it in that way. That's not what you're telling your truth.
Right.
But they don't see it that way. Even if it is the truth, they still haven't gotten to the conclusion of their own lives that this is the way it happened.
Yep. I know someone who's created a false narrative to protect themselves because they're not ready to talk about it, things that happened to them. And as much as, you know, I have a hard time understanding it where I am now
mm-hmm.
because I've grown a lot. I have to respect that that's what they want to do and just let them do that, you know? And you're right. People are just in different places of healing, different phases of going through it, you know, being able to see something different. I don't know if you've had this experience where you can for a long time believe a situation, you perceive it one way. And then you go through some growth or you have an epiphany in another area and then you look back on it and you go, oh, wow, wait a minute. Okay, maybe I can see the other facet.
The other person or other situation perspective?
Yeah.
I can look at it different. Level.
Yeah. And it's like,
well, that's why I believe when the Bible says, love, you know, line up on line, here a little, there a little, precept on precept, you know what I mean? I think that when the Word of God says that, that means because we haven't grown to all knowledge of it. And
yeah.
So we only know pieces of, again, going back to pieces, we only know pieces of the situation. And so it's when we gather all the pieces, or he brings all the pieces together, it's like the potter's wheel. He brings it back together where you can actually take certain pottery, right, and melt it back down and recreate another piece of pottery. So it's like the same thing with your life, that he can melt the situation down in a way to the place where you truly are able to conceive it and then able to rebuild from it and recreate a whole different perspective.
I'm smiling because I'm thinking of kintsugi, or kintsugi, I guess is how you say that, and the Japanese art form of taking pieces of broken pottery mm-hmm. and putting it back together with either gold or some other fine, not fine, but expensive, like gold, silver, what have you, to glue it back together. And then what you have is something more precious, unique than what it was before it was broken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the exact same thing. And we did that with a video in the recovery area at one point at CGM.
The theme that will thou be made whole.
Yeah. And but it's a, you know, it's creating something different out of all of those pieces, those broken things. And it went from a mess to a message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful art form. If you have a chance out there, if you were curious about it, you should go Google some of those pieces of pottery are beautiful.
Yeah.
They've been broken into a million pieces, or not a million, but, you know, a lot of pieces, and then put back together. And it just creates something very unique.
Something that wasn't there before. Like you said, you know, you are able to see something that you didn't or wasn't able to see before when the pieces are put back together in a different form, a different way, with different glue or different colors. You can see it from a different perspective.
Yeah. It's kind of like an artist, too. Mm-hmm. An artist can look at something that looks very, I don't know, plain, if you will, and then they can create something beautiful from the perspective that they have, or they can translate it into something else. And it just, you go, wow, that's beautiful. How did you see that? Well, you know, an artist can see that.
Yeah. And usually we see from the beginning, you know, people think, you know, it's like something of someone that does movies. And maybe you knew this, or maybe the audience knew this, and I didn't, so I'm a late bloomer and I'm a late learner. But they said that they don't, when they make the movie, people think that they probably shoot the beginning first. They don't. They shoot the end first. And then they work from the end to tell the story.
Hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's amazing. So they do the end of the movie. That's the setting. So they shoot the end first. Even though they already know the storyline, but they shoot the end first and build the story from the end to the beginning and not from the beginning to the end. And I thought, wow, that's interesting to know that they shoot the movie from the back towards the from back to forward versus from forward to back.
Yeah, I know they don't typically go in order, and sometimes they will clump scenes, like if they have scouted a location.
But they say that the end is already set, period. Like, they finish it first, edit it and everything, and set it, and build from that way.
Didn't know that at all.
I know. And I was like, wow.
Hmm.
You know, I didn't know that as well. I was like, that is interesting.
That is very interesting.
You know, that they, you know, and that when you think about that, right? When Jesus came, he finished everything.
He said it is finished.
He said it is finished. I mean, he said it even on the first 6 days, then he rested the seventh. And everything he did, you know what I'm saying, was from the end to the beginning. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times we think we're walking towards something. We're walking backwards. We're walking back to something. Not walking from something, but walking to something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm walking back towards who I really originally was. I'm not walking to a future me. I'm walking to an original me that was already there. And so my stuff that happened to me all the way through my life of 61 years old, I am now, since for the last 30 years anyway, I've been consciously, you know, becoming aware of who I am. But I'm not becoming to a new me. I'm becoming more aware of the original me, the me I was before I was touched and tampered and created, and generational patterns or triggers or people, education, the world. As I'm coming back to that person.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool.
You know, so that end was already set. Like, my death day is already set. Really, it is. It's set. Now, I don't know how I will die, but I do know I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And I am more in touch right now with that with, if I go to sleep tonight and never wake up, I'm okay? Because I know death is inevitable for me. I'm not going to live in this world. I'm not afraid of death. I embrace it. So I know that there is a day that has been set already. Now, that day to where I am will have to, it's going to catch up. I'm going to eventually catch up with that day. But that day was already set. When I was in my mother's womb, I got to believe it was already set because that's what his word says.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that I'm walking, you know, it's almost like I'm walking in two spaces. You know what I mean? I'm walking to this space, but I'm also walking to that space. If that makes sense, and in both.
Yeah, the transition. You're moving towards the transition.
Yeah, I'm transitioning out of this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm also, when I finally get to that day, I'm going to be back to my original. I'm going to have to deal with according to his word, the mess and the message. I'm going to have to deal with both. The mess and the choices, I'm going to have to give account for every word, every deed. I'm going to have to do all. So it's and in both. But then I'm going to also hopefully hear, you know, my father say to me, a job well done, my good and faithful servant, because you were responsible for the message and you gave it, even though you have to be held accountable to some of the things you did or didn't do. It's and in both.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm not afraid of either one, though. Right? I'm not afraid of either one, being held accountable to what I could have, what I did or did not do, or, you know, because the Bible says I will be held accountable to every word that comes out of my mouth. You know what I mean? Everything. Yeah. So if that's the case, that, you know, I don't know, you know, for me, so I'm going to be held accountable. I'm going to be asked. I'm going to have to give an account to certain things. And that's just for me. I'm not afraid anymore. It's like, no, I'm like excited. Some days I'm like excited about the fact that I've lived a good life, you yeah. know? And that's what I said to someone yesterday. I got everything I need and a lot of stuff I wanted. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm at peace, whatever happens. Now, I have asked the Lord, please let me die in my sleep, though. Because I have suffered a lot yeah. in this world. I've made a mess in this world. I've suffered and came through difficulties a lot in this living life.
Yeah.
So can I just go to sleep and wake up in your presence in that way? Let my death not be difficult. That's what I say all the time. Like, yeah. I don't want to suffer through my death. I want to just fall asleep and wake up in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be... Yeah.
Because every night when you go to sleep, you take the risk of not waking up.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So that's how I want to go.
I mean, you risk death all the time,
exactly.
No matter what you're doing. You have no idea how many days are written in your book.
Exactly.
But your book has been written.
Your yeah. book has been written. So it's like, that's pretty much when you was talking about expansion. You know, I think that your book has been written. You know, I look at my husband and he's 70. He'll be 71. You know, and I'm sure 30 or 40 years, we've been married almost 28, 9 years. I'm sure when we were getting married 20 years ago, neither one of us was looking at the age we are now. You know what I mean? We were just happy to be where we were.
Yeah.
And so, but we have gotten through, you know, he's 70. It's like, wow. You know, that's the promises of God. I want to, you know, and then I'm like, I'm only 61. I want to live to see the promises of God because the promise of God is 70.
Yeah. Yep.
Not everyone lives. My nephew, as we talked about starting this conversation, he only lived to be 28, you know? And so, you know, you look at that, that's, you know, 28 from 70, that's like 42 years more that he was promised by God. You know what I mean? And someone came and shot him 6 times.
Yeah,
and took that life away.
Boy, those are some heavy questions when you wonder, like, how, when a life gets cut short, like, why?
Yeah, whether it's a child of cancer or anything,
right.
You just, those are, like I said, those questions will never be answered until, you know, we will not get the complete message of that until, and we may not ever get it.
Right.
You know, but like my mentor always says, you know, we live in a fallen world, Lakrita, because what was given to us, you know, from the fall of Adam and Eve, and even what Jesus redeemed us, he redeemed us back to himself. But the reality of it is that we live in a fallen world, and we live in harm's way.
Yeah.
Because we live with humans. And humans do what they want to do, think what they want to think. You know, they just do. And so you never know. A free will.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I will say that's a struggle of mine, like just trying to understand and get my brain around when someone dies young. Like I had a friend who died, probably 3 years back, 38 years old, 5 daughters, all under the age of 12, and died of cancer. Strong believer, strong believer, and held on to her faith through all of it, all the treatment. She got lung cancer, never smoked a day in her life, but somehow developed lung cancer and passed. And when it got discovered, she was in stage 4, and it was hard. I mean, I still think about her and think, gosh, I don't understand the plans of God. I trust God, absolutely, but I do still wonder, like, what was the purpose in that? Like, what were you trying to do, God? And I, like you said, we may not have the answers here, but sometimes that's a struggle to look at that when things don't make sense, when you can't add up everything that you see and get to the point where like, I can see some of what you were doing, but you know
right.
what I mean?
And I think what you're saying, we may not ever have the message.
Right. And
out
some
of the
those,
mess.
Yeah.
Or out of the situations or out of the difficulties or out of the confusion or out of the pain. We may not ever get the message. The message may not ever come for us individually.
For us, right.
You know what I mean?
But I have to hope for those around in that mm-hmm. situation that God reveals something.
Well, I'm sure even the 5 children, I don't know how long ago that was.
It was about three years ago.
I don't know where their life is today.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that everybody felt hopeless and helpless in that moment. But 3 years later, I bet you they have found some pieces to that story to create them to have resilience enough to continue to live.
Yeah.
And I think that the ultimate, for me, the way I make peace of that, this is just my belief, the ultimate healing is to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's how I make peace of it. Now, that is my belief system, and that is how I believe. So the what ifs and what could have, you know what I mean? Because when we're asking for the will of the Lord and we're asking for healing for people, we have to also relinquish how the outcome. And that goes back to what I said. I'm the inputter, but I'm not the outcomer.
Yeah.
And so I have to relinquish the outcome of it and trust and believe that part of healing, that death, even in life, is the ultimate healing.
Yeah.
Because it says, unless a seed falls to the ground and die, it has no meaning. And, you know, and I'm saying, in other words, that's how it's reproduced. And even, I feel like that's how messages come, right? It's through the mess of a death, like me dying to going to prison and going to, you know, those are all deaths. Me dying to my will, my way, my thinking.
Yeah.
Those are all deaths. And so I'm steady dying every day about certain situations and certain circumstances with certain people and certain, you know, outcomes. I have to die. You know, you and I was talking about a situation over the weekend, and I said, you know, I'm not going to fight for that. That, you know, certain things are just not worth fighting about. You know what I mean? Tell me what you want in this situation, and I will sign off on it. Because I know what's for me is for me, and what's mine is mine. And nobody is going to stop that, not even me anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't need to have it all the dotted I's and all the crossed T's. Let's just find a common place to agree, and let's move forward to that. I think that, to me, is peace. It's less, why don't we just find, tell me what it is that's confusing to you, and let's go create clarity out of your confusion and clarity out of your chaos, and then let's be cohesive in it and agreement. That's my philosophy, and that's my belief systems now. It's like, I don't want no, you know, I don't want no chaos no more.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be very direct in who I am anymore, sitting at the table with people, letting them know, and then say to them, and what do you think about that? You know what I mean? And if you think that you begin to dictate to me about what I'm saying, I'm going to share with you, no, that's not what I meant. This is what I meant.
Yeah, you're going to give clarity.
I'm going to give clarity.
Yeah. So, and that's beautiful.
Yeah.
To be able to do that.
You know.
Clear up any misunderstandings.
Yeah. And I'm learning to be at the table with people and watch them interact and look at people. And it's like, okay.
Ooh-wee.
Like, ooh-wee. You know what I mean? Like, oh, wow. You know.
Ooh-wee.
Wee.
Oh, it's
like, ooh-wee. I'm telling you. It's like, ooh, the humans.
I love that term.
So anyway.
Well, this has been good. I hope you guys are looking forward to the series. I'm stoked. I love hearing other people's stories and listening how God took them from an impossible situation or something that seemed really hopeless to just a beautiful place, to the message.
Yeah.
Out of that mess when they've gotten clarity and can see on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too. I'm looking forward to it.
That's cool. I get to meet some new people too. Yay.
Yes.
All right. Till next time, guys. We'll see ya. Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lacreta Bowman.